Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
That's right, here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. It is never too early to talk about fantasy football. And when we talk fantasy football, we only want to talk to the best. Guys like the senior editor of FootballDiehards.com, the great Bob Harris, is joining us in the sports bar. Bob, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I suspect I was doing. I'm in a draft right now, and I actually selected LeSean McCoy in this draft.
Oh.
And I figured, like, everyone heard about it, and you guys were like, going, somebody drafted a Bill, but bring him on in.
Oh my God!
Right. Hey, well, before we get into this, I got to say I have covered all the drafts since they moved out of New York. So twice in Chicago, Philadelphia, Dallas. This past one in Nashville. Nashville was fantastic. But you have to – I was surprised they even announced subsequent places, because once they get in Las Vegas, based on what I saw in Nashville, they're never leaving.
It's over.
That was my thought.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Bob, how that's going to look on TV – you know, and let's face it. I mean, the NFL is great at made-for-TV events. That's why the Super Bowl is what it is. The draft is becoming their other annual major event. And when they see what Vegas does and how it looks on TV, it's not going to be able to. The best they can hope for is, or the best, the worst case scenario for Vegas is that they're a part of a rotation of three or four cities that just host the draft every year.
And I think that's where the direction it will head. Because look, Nashville was so phenomenal, and they started to get a hang of this at Philadelphia. They had the long open gallery kind of thing with tents on each side.
It's a street festival.
Right, a street festival. And then they took that to the next level. Well, Dallas was kind of antiseptic. We were all in the parking lot at the stadium. But in Nashville, it was that same street fair, except bars instead of tents. And man, it was phenomenal. The atmosphere, the city itself, the location of the draft was just it was phenomenal. It was my favorite one of all.
Let's talk some fantasy football. FootballDiehards.com. Bob Harris joining us here in the sports bar. Let's start with the rookies that were drafted. Bob, no shortage of talent that can help your dynasty team or your team in any format. So for some of these names, Bob, who do you love? Who do you like coming out of the draft this year?
Well, last year taught us that running backs don't necessarily come out and crush the world, right? But they generally do. So you have to like the guys like Josh Jacobs. I think David Montgomery is of some interest. Miles Sanders is going to be of some interest. Anyone who has an immediate role coming out. I think the wide receivers, you never want to get too far in front of those guys, right? I mean, they tend to take a little time, as do the tight ends. This is a great class for the tight ends. And I love them, but expecting immediate fantasy production from those guys seems like a reach. So you look at the running backs with clear paths to workloads. Josh Jacobs is first on that list. Oakland seemed to be, you know, dialed in on him. The thing about him is kind of a bit of a dichotomy there is, you know, they drafted him to be the heavy workload guy, yet he has never had a heavy workload. You go all the way back to high school. And so he hasn't demonstrated that. I think I like David Montgomery an awful lot. I think there'll be a share there. But if you kind of extrapolate the Andy Reid history with running backs to Matt Nagy, you would hope that David Montgomery is going to benefit from that. Under Andy Reid, when you draft a Kansas City Chiefs running back, you're drafting Andy Reid because of his history of producing high-end fantasy production. You're doing the same with Matt Nagy.
What about Todd Gurley in L.A.? How worried are we? And the Rams addressing a need for a backup there as well. Talk to us about what the Rams did in the draft.
Yeah, the Rams got Daryl Henderson, and I think he's an ideal fit for that offense. I think he has some standalone value if you draft him at the right point, and even in redraft, you know, and go nuts in Dynasty, people, as you already are, I'm sure. But the situation with Todd Gurley is interesting because the reporting is that he has an arthritic condition in a knee. Everything the Rams have said lends credence to that reporting, right? Like surgery isn't going to fix it. Advanced treatments are what we're working on. Managing all these, you know, kind of, buzzwords that are associated with a condition that's not going away. And that's the issue for Gurley. That's not going away. From a fantasy perspective, I'm still seeing him go well in the first round, but it's the tail end or closer. It's the second half of the first round, right? Because people are rightfully leery. Look, he vanished at times last year, some key games at the end of the season. Then when he came back in the playoffs, it kind of left a bad taste. I like a little more discount in situations like these. I might be avoiding him. But they have a guy in Henderson who is a great fit for that offense, whether he's handling a complimentary role, which if they're managing Gurley, sounds like it will be a real role, or whether he's in position at some point to handle a full workload. Look, C.J. Anderson rolled off a couch about 40 pounds overweight and destroyed everybody and won fantasy titles. And that's something we need to remember, running back, right, guys? Is somebody is going to win you a fantasy title that you did not draft every year.
Bob, I know you say be leery of wide receivers in year one, year two, but you know I like situations as well. And the situation in Kansas City, where we don't know what the future of Tyreek Hill is going to be in the NFL. Will Kansas City address that in the draft as well? Yeah. Tell us about what's going on with Andy Reid's offense.
So I think when you look at all the circumstances, and maybe during draft week or even the first day of the draft, it was even more intense because we had heard the latest news about Tyreek Hill. Commissioner Roger Goodell talked about Hill a little bit. No update. There seems to be a suspension looming. I was talking to a local reporter there just two, three days ago. He's not so sure that this is going to be as big a thing, maybe a half season, whatever. But if you don't feel good about Tyreek Hill, and you should not, you know, from an off-field perspective, they drafted Mecole Hardman, who is basically Tyreek Hill, right? A special teams guy with limited receiving experience and blazing speed. Yet they traded up to get him. And I think to me, that's a pretty good indication. Look, there's the, you know, Josh Norris from Roto World always says that there's two times when NFL teams don't lie. That's when they're spending their draft capital and their free agent money. And the Chiefs made a move and invested considerable capital in a guy that has a lot of the same attributes that Tyreek Hill does. And honestly, if you're taking chances on guys, I would suggest taking chances on guys who play next to Patrick Mahomes is probably a wise choice.
He's a senior editor of footballdiehards.com. Bob Harris joining us. You're in the Southwest, so I'm sure you're plugged into the scene. I mean, 24/7, Kyler Murray, are they taking him? What's the realistic expectation out of this rookie quarterback? Because not only for Murray, but I look at that offense and what happened to David Johnson and everything else. Right. I mean, what about the state of the Arizona offense right now, Bob?
Right. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, you have put a lot of stock into a college coach and his vision, right? And not a winning college coach in Cliff Kingsbury. But that offense, and I think everyone's looking for the next thing. They're looking at what happened with Patrick Mahomes. This was, you know, something that, you know, this has been cooking for a long time. So you bring this guy in, and I think expectations are going to be high from a fantasy perspective in the drafts I've been in. No one's going overboard on Murray. I know some of my colleagues in the industry are trying to get out in front of this, and they're ranking him fairly highly, maybe even as high as top five I've seen him. That's a little rich for my blood. But here's what I would do, and it's a reasonable approach. It's one that I took with Patrick Mahomes last year. Draft him a little early. There are still going to be the Phillip Rivers of the world available a little later. You know, the Matt Ryans, who probably will go a little earlier this year. But there's always those steady Eddies that are going later, the solid veterans who will give you consistent production. And if you want to take a chance on a younger guy with upside, Lamar Jackson, I would say, is kind of a similar guy like that to me. You know, there's some injury risk there because of the running he's going to do, the running we saw him do last year. If they keep on that pace, it's, you know, it's kind of scary. So, or, you know, any young quarterback on the rise, including Josh Allen, go ahead and draft him a little early and get that steady Eddie afterwards, that guy that can come in and give you a solid start every week. And if you get that upside, if you hit the high end of the potential of some of these younger guys in these innovative new offenses, then you come out ahead.
We'll get into the Buffalo Bills with Bob Harris here in just a few minutes in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bob, I got to get your take on some of the old faces now in new places. Antonio Brown in Oakland, Le'Veon Bell in New York. You know, how are you adjusting your expectations for these two superstars in the world of fantasy?
The grass is always greener, they say, right? Or not always greener, I guess. Look, it's not going to be the same offense for Antonio Brown. I think Le'Veon Bell comes in. The concerns are obvious there. You haven't seen him for a year. Maybe his new coach doesn't like him.
Hell, right.
You know, and would that be shocking? I mean, Adam Gase, the guy who traded away Jay Ajayi in Miami, because my guy.
At minimum, Bob, it doesn't appear that he likes to use running backs with talent.
Right. Well, I think in this case, he's not going to have a hell of a lot of choice. I think it's really hard. If Le'Veon Bell is the same guy that we last saw on the football field, you give him the football and you roll with it. And I think, you know, he does go onto that team again, assuming he's the same guy. But we're having to make a little bit of a leap of faith in that. But you draft him as the Jets running back one and and combined, you know, which was his argument for getting more money, because he is that guy. He definitely is. And I think that, you know, for a young quarterback in an offense like this, that Le'Veon Bell will be his best friend if he is the same guy. I think where you're drafting him right now, it's not that top first half of the draft, generally speaking. I think it's not an unreasonable gamble. I'd rather have him than Gurley right now. For Antonio Brown, I mean, I think, boy, you look at – so Derek Carr was horrible last year. The Raiders were horrible last year. But a lot of that was he was getting sacked every other dropback, right? What was it, 51 sacks? If you look back further, the first 2 years of his career, the only NFL player ever throw more touchdowns over the first 2 years of a career was Dan Marino. I think he had like, what, 68 to Derek Carr's 53 or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's more than Peyton Manning. That's more than Russell Wilson. I mean, so it's not like he can't throw deep. It seemed like last year it was a total check down year with Jalen Rashard and Jared Cook being the primary receivers. That's changing this year. You got Antonio Brown, Tyrell. Don't overlook Tyrell Williams there either. Guy that's averaged over 12 yards a catch. So I know what they want to do. I'm willing to invest in Antonio Brown's history of production and the hope that Derek Carr can get the job done in this offense. And you're getting a little bit of a discount, obviously. So I think that factors in.
Bob, now that Bell and Brown are gone in Pittsburgh, what do you expect out of Ben, Juju, and Connor?
Connor proved to be pretty damn good as long as he was on the field. I think there are concerns there that maybe Jalen Samuels can contribute. Benny Snell, the rookie coming in, can contribute. That's not Mike Tomlin's history. Mike Tomlin's history goes back to telling us he was going to run the wheels off Willie Parker and then literally running the wheels off Willie Parker. And he is that guy. So I think he wants to do that. And I think what we saw from Connor last year gives us enough confidence. A lot of that is based on offensive line, right? And offensive lines matter. People pay attention to them with every draft pick if you can. And I think that works in Connor's favor. A little bit of concern about the other guys in there. Roethlisberger, I think you're getting a huge discount on him as well. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a really good player. I think the Steelers have a history of developing wide receivers, so maybe James Washington comes along this year. Deontay Johnson's a guy that you're hearing a lot of talk about. Dante Moncrief is there. So, I mean, I think there's enough weapons. The question for Juju Smith-Schuster is, can he do the same things he's done the last 2 years as the wide receiver one drawing that kind of attention? I'll pay to find out.
Bob Harris, the senior editor of footballdiehards.com, one of our regulars here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, talking some fantasy football on ESPN Rochester. Bob, I want to get your thoughts on the top five running backs that you have on your board. One of them, I'm guessing, is Ezekiel Elliott, and what this latest incident in Vegas, speaking of Vegas, if that gets him in trouble with the league, what does this do to your outlook on Zeke going into the season?
You know, it doesn't really do anything on my immediate outlook. I mean, the NFL, we all know, can do whatever they want to do. This seems like a pretty innocuous event. But I saw on Good Morning Football they were talking about it, and I totally agree with what they were basically saying is when you're Zeke Elliott, you have to know you're Zeke Elliott. You have to understand your own history, and you just have to walk away from situations. I'm hoping he learns that. He really seems like he's heading in a good path. He still plays behind a great offensive line. That offense, even with Kellen Moore calling the plays, is still going to lean heavily on him, even with Amari Cooper in the mix and, you know, whoever else they can dredge up to get down the field. So I'm still drafting him. I have him ranked number three overall in either format, whether you're playing standard PPR, maybe even draft him a little higher in a standard league if I had to. So I'm pretty comfortable still going with him, but it's something to watch, right? I mean, we need to make sure there's going to be no repercussions. I doubt there will be.
Bob, we've been leading to this question right here because we're so provincial in Western. Like, I don't think the Buffalo Bills offense helped anybody win a championship last year, but
well, Josh Allen maybe.
Josh Allen may have. I mean, the numbers were huge. It's that running that set him apart, and I think, you know, I don't know that that's ideally what they want to have happen, though, right? So we'll see if he can get that on track. In general, it's a scary offense, as it always is.
Is there anything in the wide receiving core that is worth investing in? I mean, you know, look, it's early, it's OTAs. Robert Foster was looking the part of wide receiver one at practice yesterday. But again, a lot of that, I think, depends on whether or not Josh Allen is completing those deep balls, which,
right,
as we know, is kind of like winning the lottery in fantasy football and in the NFL. Like, they just don't happen all the time. It's not really where the game is going.
Right. So I play a lot of best ball. That's what I'm, the drafts I'm doing right now are best ball, where you don't really have to pick which weeks the guys have big games. The lineup is set by whoever scores the most. I think some of your Buffalo Bills are ideal in that. And by some of them, I mean John Brown, who I'm addicted to. I can't quit him. Anyone who can run past everyone else on the field that plays with Josh Allen seems like a reasonable touchdown threat at any given time. So Foster goes into that crew as well. So I'm paying up a little bit for those guys in best ball formats. But, I mean, if you're looking for consistent weekly production in a regular traditional redraft league, I think it's a little hard to commit to them as much draft capital. But, look, they do have value in part because Josh Allen has a big arm. I read Vic Carucci from the Buffalo News,
yep,
wrote that he thinks Cole Beasley will be the leading receiver, the leading pass catcher anyway, whether it's the biggest producer or not. That would be a big change because Josh Allen doesn't throw short passes very much. So, all right, didn't complete a hell of a lot of them. And I know that's been a focal point, over the offseason, the talk of him improving in that regard, because that's a good way to pick up his completion percentage. So I get it. I'm still gambling on the guys that go deep.
Following up on Beasley here, because you look at his numbers a few years ago, they were better than certainly last year. And this narrative I read out of Dallas was, Linehan didn't know how to use him. True or false, Bob? I mean, did Dallas use Cole Beasley correctly?
I don't know, but Brian Daboll has a little familiarity with the New England scheme. They seem to know how to use these slot-type receivers there. So I guess that's the hope, and I think that's what Vic Carucci mentioned. So, look, you're going to get – if you're drafting Cole Beasley, he's like a last pick almost. I mean, and I don't see him – and that may change as we get closer to the season. But I could co-sign. Everyone has value at the right price, right, guys? So, if you think this guy – if you think that's part of the plan and it does make sense, then, yeah, I can make some arguments for him over guys that you're drafting in the same range, which are some pretty unproven guys. Would I rather have Beasley or Randall Cobb right now? Yeah, I'd rather have Beasley.
From a fantasy perspective, Bob, are you buying in and drinking the Kool-Aid that's coming out of Cleveland?
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, to the degree that there is only one football, though. I mean, everyone needs to remember that. And Nick Chubb's going to run a hell of a lot. But I do think Odell Beckham's skills fit with what Baker Mayfield does. I think Jarvis Landry should be a little bit worried. And David Njoku, who we've had high hopes for. And he's been pretty good. Fallen a little short of expectations. I think all these guys, you got to dial back a little bit. And with Kareem Hunt coming in, even if you're investing in Nick Chubb, boy, he was phenomenal when they gave him that full-time job. And he's a big playmaker, but Kareem Hunt is a really good player as well. So you would expect when he comes back that they're going to find a way to get him on the field.
You mentioned at the top there, Bob, you drafted LeSean McCoy, and I just have to follow.
Ninth round.
Bob, he might not even be on this team opening day.
Would I rather gamble on him maybe being the starter in the ninth round or Austin Eckler? I mean, that's the kind of choice I'm making there. Or Curtis Samuel for the receiver for the Panthers. I mean, those were the guys in the same range. And look, my expectations are minimal for that entire backfield. Because why? There's five guys when you have four, or four guys. When you have four, you have none.
Yeah.
From a fantasy perspective. And I think the likelihood is we see all of them to some degree. And that's pretty devastating from a fantasy perspective, which is why I'm still shaking my fist at the Patriots for drafting Damian Harris. Just when we thought it was clearing up there.
You mentioned, paying attention to the offensive line. And with the Bills, I think that's the biggest thing to pay attention to, because this is a completely revamped offensive line. So we really don't know nothing could be worse than what it was last year. You really don't know what to expect out of the Bills offense until that offensive line starts gelling. Bob, you're always so gracious with your time. I want to make sure you have plenty of time. The floor is yours. Tell everybody about footballdiehards.com, where they can read more of your work and hear more of your work.
They can go to footballdiehards.com and they can look at everything. It's all there. It's all free right now. I'm also working on our four annual magazines, the Pro Forecast, our 30th year.
Wow.
Crying out loud. And all the others, the Associated Magazines, Football Diehards Magazine as well. And you can hear me on Sirius this time of year. I'm on every Saturday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. In July, that'll crank up to every single day. There will be no escape for the rest of the year. I'll be on every day.
Bob, Memorial Day weekend. To me, this is the weekend where you start doing your homework if you want to win.
Oh, hell, I'm drafting, kids. Get in those best balls. Look, it's a great laboratory. It's a little bit different format. If you haven't played, it's a set and forget. But go out and find some of those drafts. Get in them. You can win a little money. And in the end, it's a great laboratory to test your strategies as you're heading into your regular draft.
I love it. Lots of fun. Bob, appreciate your time. As always, look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Always say I appreciate you guys having me on.
Bob Harris, senior football editor, footballdiehards.com, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Vinny writing in, the offense, no, but the Bills defense helped me win a championship last year. Okay, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there was instances. And, yes, yeah, so if you picked up Josh Allen toward the end, you might have had a fun run, but if you played Josh Allen championship round against New England, I don't think you would have won your championship. That the game in New England was terrible.
And if you're banking on the Bills' defense to get your fantasy points, then you better hope that that extension they just gave Jerry Hughes pays off in the form of sacks, double-digit sacks. No excuses.
Well, I mean, as far as the Bills' defense, it's a sound defense, but it's not really big play defense, right? There are other options. So that's the one thing that, yeah, every Bills fan would love to see turn up. More takeaways, more sacks.
Loved our conversation just now with Bob Harris of footballdiehards.com, talking a little fantasy football, and we'll get that for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com, and of course the radio.com app. If you download it for free to your device, and you search out the sports bar, all of our highlights right there on demand. You can listen anytime, anywhere. More stories from the NFL owners meetings. We go around the NFL next with appetizers. It's brought to you by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years, online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, changes to overtime, perhaps. We'll go over what the owners are talking about. Elimination of some training camp drills. I didn't know some of these actually went on. We'll review. And we talked a little about this earlier, but the host cities, not just next year in Vegas. The NFL has named it all the way up to 2023. 2022, we can kind of piece together where that's going as well. NFL appetizers coming up.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.